Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 12. In Psalms chapter 1, I remember learning this when I was a kid. It was one of the very first, passages of Scripture that we were taught to memorize. And Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, does anybody know what it says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And you learn that as a kid and just kind of blast through it because it's just something that you're memorizing. And, there's another verse in Proverbs. Let me just flip over and find it real quick. I don't even have time to bookmark this stuff. But Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The same man that wrote that also wrote, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And, of course, he elaborated on it more in that passage of Scripture, but just that phrase alone. Walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. Everybody, from the time they're little bitty, are walking in the counsel of somebody. Starts out at your parents, and especially if you're fortunate enough to be born into a home that cares about anything about God and have parents that love the Lord, they try to train you to in the counsel of God. I mean, they try to teach you what's right and wrong and the difference between what's right and wrong, and they try to lead you in the path of righteousness. And the counsel that they give you, whether it be how to clean your room or how to tie your shoes or how to brush your teeth or feed yourself or how to tell the truth or how to have some integrity, how to be honest and all that kind of stuff, all this stuff is counsel that they're giving you. And, it's something that people do from the time they're little bitty until the time they die when they're old. They're always seeking, whether they classify it as counsel, they're always seeking that from someone else in some form or another. We see it in our daily walk of life. I mean, simple things like Mike's always forwarding the weather page to everybody, like the forecast. A lot of people get up in the mornings, that's the first thing they look at. They want to see what the counsel of the weatherman is going to be. And I'm not going to say that the weatherman is ungodly per se, but he's not honest all the time or forthcoming with the truth because he gets it wrong a lot of times. But you seek that counsel because just like Tuesday, she's got an eye doctor's appointment in Donovan. Well, tomorrow they're calling for snow in the afternoon and sleet and nasty weather. So by Tuesday, I don't know how accessible Donovan's going to be from Patterson or not. It's a lot of woods roads between here and there. Might be kind of slick. So you seek that counsel to see if it's something you can actually do or not. People seek counsel for all kinds of different things. I know people who seek counsel for whether or not they should invest their money a certain way, or whether or not this vehicle or this piece of ground is a good investment or not. Just all kinds of things that people seek counsel for. There's guidance counselors in school to help you figure out what you want to go to school for, right? I mean, what they do, they kind of help point you in the direction of where you're going to go to college or whatever. I mean, and a lot of other things. There's always somebody there to give you counsel. And David in the Psalms here, what he said about the counsel of the ungodly tells me right off the bat that there's good counsel and there's ungodly counsel. He warned, as the first thing he had to say in Psalms is, the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly will be blessed. And deductive reasoning says that the man who does walk in the counsel of the ungodly will not be. I mean, don't that make sense and stand to reason? It's not real hard to deduce that from what he said. And, you know, I know from personal experience in my life that I have sought counsel with an honest heart before, and I've sought counsel with a dishonest heart before. The thing about counsel isn't so much about the availability of the different kinds of counsel there is. It's kind of like when you go to Walmart, there's the alcohol aisle, and then there's the aisle that sells milk and eggs and cheese. And depending on which aisle you go down and pick from, it will determine what you're getting. You know, it's not about the availability of the product. It's about how you approach counsel. You know, a lot of the training that goes into our kids that we take it for granted, isn't that, you know, you need to obey what I'm telling you because it's the truth. It ought to be more about how they're receiving counsel. You know, the way that you approach wisdom and instruction, the right kind of heart that you have approaching this is going to determine how you receive it and what counsel you pick. You go in the store with the intent to buy a case of beer, and you ain't going to walk out with 2 gallons of milk. You're going to go in there and get exactly what you went there for. I mean, you and I both know a lot of people who do that. And it's the same way with counsel. You go seeking counsel, and you want the truth, and you want something that's good. There's all kinds of instruction in the Bible, directions, a roadmap, if you will, of how to seek out godly counsel. And why that's what you really ought to be after and approaching, looking for wisdom and instruction and counsel that is godly and it's right and it's upright and it's noble and it's good in its intent and in its purpose. And I want to read this story here in 1 Kings chapter 12. I'm just going to read 1 through 19. And I'm just going to read the whole verse, the whole passage. I'm sure everybody in here has heard this story before at some point or another, but it's good to go over it again. The story here is about a boy named Rehoboam. He was the King David that said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That was his grandpa. And then the man who wrote a lot of the Proverbs was his dad. That man that said, "In the multitude of counselors, there's safety." That was his father. And yet here comes this young man named Rehoboam. And it says, you know, where we're jumping into the story here, kind of a little bit of backstory. David's gone. Solomon is gone. And now it's time for a new king. Someone's got to step up and take the throne. And there's a power struggle going on because there's division in the kingdom. And the thing that's going to make or break whether or not the people follow Rehoboam or they split off and do something different is based upon the decision that he's fixing to make here. And so think about what I've said about the motives behind seeking counsel as we read this story about Rehoboam. Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men." Now he sought counsel, and he went to the right source first. I want to pause here for just 1 second and just look at something here. The time had come where decision making was up to him now. You know, his dad wasn't there, his grandpa wasn't there. he had to seek out good counsel himself. You know, growing up in a good home is a real blessing. Growing up around people who care about you and care about your future and they love the Lord and want to point you in the right direction is a real blessing. But more often than not, we take it very much for granted. Us who have grown up in a home like that with godly counsel that's always there at the ready. It's kind of like growing up taking food for granted. You know, you ever meet somebody who is hungry, who doesn't have food? And, you know, you don't have to go to a third world country to find it either. You know, there's people who literally don't have food to eat. And we go to the pantry, and if we don't have at least a box or two of Debbie cakes and some bags of chips and some stuff to make quesadillas with in the fridge, we're out of food. We don't have no groceries. You know, what are we going to do? We need to go get groceries. We don't have no food. And the pantry's, man, there's food in there to last us for weeks if we just cook it. Get a little creative, you know. We take it for granted, and we do the truth the same way, and we take good counsel for granted the same exact way. And Rehoboam found himself in a situation here where suddenly he was thrust into a position of where he had to make some choices himself without the counsel of his father or his grandfather. And because he'd had this available to him all of his life, it was almost like his knee-jerk reaction to do the right thing first. So many times you'll find yourself doing the same thing. I have done it too. Problem is that he already was approaching seeking counsel with the wrong heart. Rehoboam's heart was the problem. The condition of his spirit and his soul was messed up from the beginning. And that was what was driving the bus of where he went to seek counsel. Seeking counsel in the right place does not make you right in whatever decision you make. There's a lot of times where you'll see people who want to appear that they're seeking counsel like God said to. And they'll go through the motions and seek this counsel so that when someone says, well, all right, you want some counsel? Here's what I think you should do. And here's the deal. The right counsel will take the word of God and back up their advice to you and say, the Bible says this is what we should do, and this is why I'm advising you. This is my counsel. This is what you ought to do. Ungodly counsel does not come from a source of that. Ungodly counsel will usually start with, well, in my opinion, well, the way I see it, well, if it was me, this is what I'd do. And people who go and seek after the good counsel first, a lot of times we'll do it almost ceremonially so that anyone looking on is not going to say, boy, you know, listen, you ought to be seeking counsel from someone else. You're going to the wrong source for wisdom here. No, they do that first because they're wanting to project on everyone that, hey, look, I'm doing the right thing. I'm honoring my folks by seeking out the right counsel. Rehoboam went to the old men first. You know, the Bible talks about seeking out the old way and walking therein. A lot of people will head down that path first, but you need to look a little closer sometimes and just hold your tongue and wait and watch and see where it winds up. All right. His true desire wasn't to do right, but to be accepted by the people who he thought mattered most. This is demonstrated by the choice he made after the different counsels he received. All right. It says here in verse 6, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise me that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? I want you to, I just noticed this, and I'm just kind of on the fly here, but realize that he even worded his question for counsel differently. When he went to the old man, he said, "What do you advise me that I may do?" And they said, "Here's what we advise you to do." When he went to the young men and said, "What do you think we should do?" Do you see why he asked them that and why he sought counsel from them? He did not identify with the old men. He identified with the young men. He identified with the group that he not only... The old men, it was a formality, him asking them their counsel. The young men, he said, he didn't even distinguish or divinate. This was the king. And he looked at them, the young men he grew up with, and said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" So see, he was so unsure of the decision that he was making that he sought counsel with people and then brought them into it with him. See, he included them in, I mean, he cheapened the kingship. You understand what I'm saying? He devalued even his position as king. And see, that's just another, it's just another thing that proves where his heart was about the way and who he was seeking counsel from. He did not identify with the old men. He didn't value their counsel at all. Nor did he value even this position as king, because he didn't distinguish between, "I'm the king and you're not. And I'm the leader and all this falls upon me." People who know they're making the wrong choice and seeking counsel from the ungodly always try to heap to themselves people who can share the blame with them if something goes wrong. That's why when you go seeking counsel from someone and you already have your mind made up what you're going to do before you ever seek counsel, it's almost insult to injury to seek godly counsel. Because if your heart's not right, you already know what you're going to do. And it's like we've said before, I've had people come to me and say, "Listen, what do you think I ought to do?" And I already know that they're not seeking counsel. They're seeking an ally. That's exactly what Rehoboam was doing here. He went to the old men and said, "What do you think I ought to do?" And they said, "Here's what you ought to do." So he went to the young men and he said, "What should we do?" You know, he didn't go looking for allies among the old men. He went seeking them among the young men, the ones who gave him the wrong kind of counsel. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it thou lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Does that sound like something a kid would say? Sound like something an impetuous, young, arrogant, ignorant young man would say in a threat of some sort? That don't understand anything about anything? Yeah. I speak because I say that because I've been there. I've been that stupid young man. Always quick to fire off at the mouth about what needs to be done or what you'd do or what he'd do or what we'd do or whatever needs to be done, and just kind of just bowl right over the little bit more laid back, well balanced, even keeled counsel of an old man somewhere. It's always radical. Counsel of the ungodly will always be radical in a direction, one way or the other. It'll always be something radical. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come up to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they had gave him. And he spake unto them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. So to your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. That's what they told Rehoboam. See, he was David's descendant. He represented the lineage of David. Notice no one said Solomon. The reproach that was brought into play because of the counsel that he took heed to didn't humiliate and bring dishonor to him. It brought it to those old men. It brought it to his father and his grandfather. It brought it to people who had done right. When David was king, he surrounded himself with counselors. He always consulted them, and he always consulted the Lord for any decision that he went to make, saving just like one or two things that he paid dearly for. But see, Rehoboam made this choice to seek counsel from the wrong place before he ever sought any counsel. He'd already made up his mind what he was going to do because of who he wanted to identify with and what the true intention of his evil, wicked heart really was in the first place. And it brought division to the country, you know. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute. So when he sent out his tax collector, all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up into his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. It divided the kingdom forever. Forever. Why? All because of the counsel that he took heed to. Look, the lesson here this morning is pretty simple. The wrong wasn't committed by having heard all the different counsels, but it was committed by whose he followed after and why. In this life, from the time you're these little babies age until the time that they lay you in the ground, there's going to be available to you and me counsel from every walk of life. And then the day we live in, where information is so much more available on any subject matter, and there's so many more voices just yelling in your face constantly, no matter what you look at, giving you some kind of counsel, whether it's what kind of food to eat or not eat, which changes all the time, whether it's who to vote for or who not to vote for, and that also changes all the time, whether or not, you know, the counsel to what to feed your children or what not to feed them, or where to go to the doctor and where not to go to the doctor, and where to go on vacation, and what kind of car to drive, and what kind of shoes to wear, and what kind of everything. There's the counsel that is available to you, what kind of religion to be, what kind of truth to believe, what kind of version of the Bible to read, what kind of marriage that you ought to have, what kind of parent you ought to be, what kind of school you ought to send your kid to, what kind of... every day there's counsel that you have and I have to make a choice on of what to pick. And the state of your heart has to be taken care of first. Because if you go out there to start taking counsel from what's available, you're going to be just like that man in Proverbs 7 where he said, I espied a young man void of understanding. And he went down this road, he went down this street, and he was lured right in like a bird in a snare. Why? Well, because his heart wasn't right. And so the counsel and the advice and the path that he chose was just after the lust of his own heart. And see, if your heart ain't right with God, then the kind of, it's going to be evident, not by even how you dress, not even by the words you speak always, It's going to be demonstrated, and it's going to be visible in the way that you live your life. It's going to be visible in the way you raise your kids. It's going to be visible in the counsel. It's going to be visible in the advice that you take and who you take it from about everything you do in this life. And see, everybody, and I mean, I'm no exception. We're all in the same boat in a lot of ways. And that's why it bears looking into in all of our hearts, because we lean to our own understanding a whole bunch, a lot more than we'd like to admit, especially when it comes to this matter of what kind of counsel to seek. I mean, we like to be the ones who make the decision. Well, what do you think Rehoboam was thinking when he said, you know, I need to know what to do? And if Dad was here or if Grandpa was around, I could just say, tell me what to do. And then they'd tell me what to do, and I'd just do it. And then everything would be fine, because everything's been fine for them. They're not here, so what am I going to do? I don't think he went into this situation with a lot of fear of, oh no, I don't want to make a mistake. Nah, his heart was messed up, and he'd been waiting for this day to come. Same way that you see people, young people, that grow up in a Christian home and they dress right and they're involved in everything. Every time the doors are open and they're here and they're part of everything going on, in the minute that they get the chance to make that choice for themselves, well, they go to another church. Or they maybe listen to a different kind of music. That's how it starts out. They start making these decisions that's not... It's kind of from the counsel of these old men, but it's also mixed in with the flavor of the young men's counsel too. And you see them kind of straddling the fence. I heard a preacher say one time, it's not a good habit to be a fence straddler, because every once in a while you're going to hit a fence post. And that's the truth. Before long, you get sick of hitting fence posts. You get sick of hitting these blockades that God puts up for you, saying you're not walking in the full counsel of God. And you're just going to bail off on the other side of the fence. Rehoboam had already done that long before it ever came time for him to be the one making the decisions. You know, I think a lot of times, and you know, I pray every day and ask the Lord to give me wisdom on what counsel to give my kids. What counsel to let them be exposed to, even if it's in measured out quantity. I want to see what they're going to do when presented with a choice themselves. I don't want to just make all the decisions for my kids and then one day they just, okay, and you're on your own. Now make all the decisions yourself. And I'm, you know, well, faith that's never been tried and tested has not been proven. And it's not a wise thing to assume that just because someone's been around good counsel and good wisdom, that they're just going to always, by default, make the right choice. Especially when you're not even in touch with God or your children's hearts enough to even know if they're right with God themselves or not. You know? And then when you let them be under... I am careful. I am paranoid, if you want to say it, about who gets to influence my kids. The older they get, the more paranoid I am. The more I fear for who's putting into them. Because even in their life already up to this point, most of the struggles that we have had with my kids have been because of the counsel they've received from someone else. Not that all my counsel has always been correct, but because a lot of times I've just assumed that good counsel comes from good people. And I made the decision on who was a good person, and they counseled my children to go against me and to go against what's right. All of us in here that have kids can attest to that in some degree. And y'all with younger kids, I'm telling you right now that right there ought to be, I mean, in the top three things you watch for forevermore in your children's life. Because everybody out there, if they perceive that you're wanting to follow after godly counsel and raise your kids right, their goal in life is going to be to take that away from you through your children by poisoning their mind against the counsel of God. And that's what the counsel of the ungodly is. And if you're walking in it, how do you think your kid ain't going to walk in it? What happened to Solomon? Rehoboam's dad, he started out and asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And then he did just like we talked about a few weeks ago about making a choice to follow after the lust of his own heart. And by the time it was over, he was letting all them wives he married bring in their pagan gods, and he built groves for them and everything. I mean, he turned away from God and took counsel from ungodly people. And look what it did to his son. It was the beginning of the end to this day. Israel never recovered from what happened because of Solomon. And it came through his children. David, even his sin, God told him, the sword will never depart from your house because of what you've done, because of the choice he made. And it's the same way with us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. There's more that could be said about this. You put yourself out there where the counsel of the ungodly is all that's flowing around you, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to take it. You sit and look at your phone all day long, and that's where you get your counsel from about how to be a wife or a father or a mother or a husband or a cook or whatever it is. You're gonna receive counsel from the ungodly. There ain't no godly counsel on that thing. I hate it. Because everything I see on there has got a hook in it. Even the stuff that looks good, it's got a hook in it. And it's ungodly counsel. It comes from the world. Standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You ain't even got to be scornful, but if you're sitting in their seat, you're guilty by association. You're one step away from it. You get your counsel from the ungodly, and you will not be blessed. The Lord won't bless you. He won't bless your home. He won't bless your family. He won't bless your kids. He won't bless your business. He won't bless your job. He won't bless your spiritual life. No. You made a choice one way or the other. And it all stems from the condition, like the spiritual state of your heart. Approach counsel with the right spirit, the spirit to receive. David, when he... Well, you've been talking about him a lot here preaching lately. But I mean, the things that he did, even when after he was anointed king, and the way that he had still had a humble heart, and he would not vindicate himself, and he would not assert himself to what everyone else would say was rightfully his. Everything that he did, even... Where did he get his counsel from? Ahithophel? The priests of the Lord? You know, that's who he sought counsel from, and the Lord himself. That's where he sought his counsel from. He didn't go even to his mighty men. You know, they served their purpose and they served it well. But he did not go to them for counsel. Because he knew that if he followed after their counsel, I mean, look at what kind of people they were. The Bible tells us what they were. They weren't advisors to be taken advice from in counsel, godly counsel. And it's the same way with us. You know, we've got a lot of people in our lives that are there for godly counsel. And I believe that if you seek godly counsel, you'll find it. And even if someone comes along and it appears that they're giving you godly counsel, if your heart is truly seeking after the Lord and after godly counsel, He will give you discernment to be able to smell the rat, so to speak, in counsel that appears to be godly, but it's really not. You know, Rehoboam sought out the counsel that lined up with what his intentions were already. Be careful that the counsel that you seek and that you follow after is not just a cry for approval or another badge to identify with a certain group of people that you've already decided to follow after in the first place. Seek godly counsel.